Lake Effect Weekend continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. One of the many joys of art is that it allows us to experience the world through someone else's lens. It's a form of communication that encourages you to consider other points of view, perspectives, or experiences.
Lance Owens is the director of Artworking, an organization that guides individuals with developmental and intellectual challenges along the path of generating income through art. Owens came to UW-Madison to pursue an MFA in visual arts and printmaking. He took a part-time job working for an organization focused on working with individuals living with intellectual and developmental challenges.
After graduating, Owens found promoting his own artwork to be a bit too ego-driven and self-focused, and says he wanted to do something that was more expansive. He combined his background in fine arts and his love for his clients in creating Artworking.
That was 12 years ago. In this edition of Radio Chipstone, Owens tells contributor Jennifer Fields that in working with the artists who participate in Artworking, he's found kindred spirits.
Part of the reason that I probably ended up doing this work is that I feel like the disability community so often is an outlier from mainstream society. And I think I myself am sort of an outlier. And we've set up this little encampment on the fringe of society, I think, because we find resonance in one another.
It's so honest and so approachable and so delightful. And everywhere you look, there's a point of interest. This just seems like I'm being led into somebody's world that I don't often have entree into. And it's inviting. It feels good to stand around the pieces. And it's not just this work. It's the work that I see in this room. And I'm wondering if I'm being hypersensitive because I know it comes from people who are on the spectrum. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be that patronizing sort of like art historian. Like, oh, these pieces are lovely. But these are moving pieces. And like, I can't help but feel some joy and some attachment to them. Because everywhere I look, there's something that's familiar, but it's familiar with a twist that I've not seen before.
You know, and to separate kind of from the cliche of sort of the pure joy of the artist with a disability, but I think that there is truth to the idea that the artists that we're working with don't come with the affect and pretense. One of the things that kind of drove me away from art and academia was the preponderance of affect and self-absorption. And I feel like just the artists that we're working with don't carry that cultivated self-awareness that the mainstream art world does. And I think that's reflected in the work and what you perceive as sort of inviting and open and warm and joyful, I think is actually just the absence of the sterility and the distance and the sort of stoicism of contemporary art.
Both of us having gone through the UW and the art program, you're sort of subject to whatever your professor has studied. Right? You're encouraged to look outside, but the readings really just support their work. So it's this idea of this is someone who's just telling me their story without any sort of influence necessarily from, as you said, this history of being stoic and history of being right and history of promoting a certain type of person or a certain person from a certain, what do we call it, financial background. Because if you're going to be a working artist, you have to kind of start off rich or have a patron.
Right. Yes. No, I definitely think that working as a professional artist is so often the career path of privilege. And it's interesting, you know, there's like not a lot of room in the middle of the hump at some level. And I think that one of the things that makes the path of a professional artist for a person with a disability viable is just the ability to ramp up income levels. You know, so often when you think about what your career opportunities are, you're thinking about how you're going to pay for your health insurance and how you're going to pay for your mortgage. And can you make, you know, $80,000 a year, you know, after a few years in the business? And I think that it's more viable at some level what we're doing with the business owners that we're working with, because most of our artists are business owners, because starting out with a really low level of income and gradually ramping up is much more realistic and viable. And it's interesting, though, because sometimes people have a hard time reconciling, and maybe this is true for all artists, the idea that art can be a business or that art can be a profession or that art can be a career. Right.
You sold out.
Right.
You were so much better, man, when you were pure.
Right. Or if you're following your passion, that somehow, you know, there's the Puritan austerity of the American psyche, the idea that if you enjoy what you do, that you're not working hard enough.
So then, Lance, as we look around this room and we see the works, is there a piece in here that really touches you? Is there something that tells a particular story that you're willing to share with us?
Oh, boy, I can take my pick. You know, I'm looking and I'm just, as I see each, there are so many different stories that tell different stories. A lot of the stories are kind of about the trajectory of people's path of creative growth. When I look at a thing, like I'm looking at a painting here, and Chloe happens to be standing right there, and this is a painting that Chloe made, and I think of how when we first met Chloe, when she came out of high school, and she wasn't really painting at all at that time. She was just doing some ceramic work, and gradually began painting just as a kind of to take a break from the ceramic stuff that she had been doing. But then her work has evolved so radically over time that it's some of my very, 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 very favorite work in the studio. And oftentimes when we show it out, it will end up being the work that's the, like, oh, what's your favorite standout piece? And the person who maybe owns the exhibition space or the gallery or whatever will be like, oh, I really love these paintings. And I think she never really thought about painting as a way to make a living, really, in the early days of even small business planning with her. And I think it's the most contemporary and the most, like, it's just really interesting composition. There's that some of my absolute favorite painting. And when we started this path together, there was never even a conversation about painting being the outcome. It was something that just sort of happened over time.
And I can see in your face that that brings joy.
I think that part of the motivation for doing this work is I hated square pegging round holes. I really hated trying to coach somebody through, you know, an employment opportunity that their heart wasn't in. And I love so much being able to help people find their passion and actually track down a path that's really native to them and then see, you know, the financial outcome or the career outcome or just even the self-identification as an artist with, you know, an identity as an artist. And I love seeing people find what is their Tao versus what is our Tao for them. So it's really exciting every time somebody kind of finds their rhythm or their style or their niche, or even if it's just finding out what kind of support structures help them to be happy and productive and having as light a touch as possible. And I think part of my theory about artworking is that if people are doing what they're passionate about, then we spend very little time doing behavioral management. And I think that's, you know, if we could not be trying to make people be compliant, maybe even if it's a little transgressive. I get excited when people make work that's a little transgressive or a little edgy or a little like, can we really show that? Is that appropriate? I don't know.
We'll see.
Right? I get excited when people find their voice and their voice maybe isn't our vision of what like happy disability art is supposed to be. I love it when people like come out with something where it's like, oh, this is a little dark or this is a little racy, you know?
Material culture contributor Jennifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. The project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. This week, Jennifer spoke with Lance Owens, founder and director of Artworking in Madison.